Our US correspondent's about to join us, Karen Kessler, the State House Bureau Chief for Ohio Public Radio and Television, and a veteran, despite her young age, of many campaigns and conventions in the US. But before she does, media have caught on to the fact that this time round, anyway, we are seeing perhaps the death of the traditional presidential campaign as people ask, where is Joe Biden?
Big breaking news, Joe Biden has finally emerged from his basement.
Look, I think it's a reminder of the risk-reward of this Biden in the basement strategy.
It's so crazy what's happening. Here's a guy who doesn't talk. Nobody hears him. Whenever he does talk, he can't put two sentences together.
Karen Kessler, good morning to you.
Good afternoon, good evening, kind of.
Yes, that's right, good evening, kind of. It is almost evening where you are. First of all, Joe Biden is pretty well ahead in all the polls and on pretty well all the metrics, isn't he?
Yes, he's doing very well for especially this time in the campaign. And like you were just saying in the introduction, it's a really different campaign this time because we really don't have the typical rallies and events and door-to-door kind of things that have been happening. It's been a campaign season of videos and a lot of remote kinds of things. And so that does change a little bit of, I think, how people are seeing the candidates. But certainly Biden is doing very well, and he's doing very well in states where Trump did well. And that really does not portend well for Mr. Trump.
No. But Joe Biden running his campaign from the basement, which his critics have seized on, even allowing for COVID-19, will his doing that start to tell once the spending starts and the Republicans start deriding him?
Well, the spending is not yet started. That's a good point. There's been some spending, but not much. And I live in Ohio, which usually is a state that is a swing state, a state that the candidates campaign a lot in. But because Trump won Ohio by 8 points last time, a lot of people had written Ohio off as a state the Democrats could win. Because Trump is doing so poorly now, Ohio is back in play, so to speak. And so we're starting to see some more ads. The real excitement, I think, when it comes to ads is going to start ramping up here in the next couple of weeks. We have a virtual Republican convention, and then just before that, a virtual Democratic convention coming up in August. And then that's going to set the stage for the real crush of ads. And it's not just going to be from the traditional political parties, from Biden himself and Trump himself, but also from the other groups that get involved. And this time, we have a couple of really high-profile groups that are going to be doing ads for Biden, and yet they are Republican groups founded by Republicans, run by Republicans, but encouraging people to not vote for the Republican, instead to vote for the Democrat.
The big test for Biden, people are saying, might come in the debates. To what extent do they change minds in the U.S., Karen?
You know, I think that's something that's quite often debated. I think it's so important because it gives Americans a chance to actually see the candidates face-to-face and not working off of scripted notes and not talking to the camera in a really nice ad. It gives them the opportunity to see the candidates really take serious questions, pardon me, and really kind of come up with answers that they would give on their feet. So I hope that the debates do go forward. I'm a little concerned because, pardon me, one of the debates now has been moved around a little bit, and it was supposed to be at Notre Dame College, and they gave up that opportunity, and now it's going to here in Ohio. That's the first one at the end of September, and they're still planning on trying to have an audience and that sort of thing, and that'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. Sorry about your cough. Trump wanting the election postponed is just hot air. He can't decide that. And the more important question, maybe, what people fear most cannot come to pass either, really. He cannot just adamantly refuse to accept the result. You've talked about this possibility before.
Right. I mean, in the U.S., it's not a federal election run by the federal government. It's an election run by 50 individual states. And so for Trump to just completely say, I don't accept the results of the election, and for all the states to go along with that, he would have to get 50 states to do that. And some of those states are run by governors and state legislatures and others who are not sympathetic to Mr. Trump. So I think that there are some possibilities and some planning going on right now that tries to address what's going to happen if indeed he does say that he doesn't agree with the results of the election. What he was floating this past week was that he wants to say that if we don't know the results of the election on election night, then he will not consider it to be a valid election. And he's talking then about voters mailing in their ballots, which is something a lot of people are thinking is going to happen because of the pandemic. People in many states, most states in this country, do have the opportunity to vote by mail if they want to, or they can vote on election day. And in fact, in Ohio, in our primary in March, that's how we voted, because the polls were closed just before the primary and everybody voted by mail. And so he's kind of setting this up, this stage of not accepting the results. And it's a really scary thing, because we've always accepted the results of an election. And even when they didn't go our way, we've always accepted it. And this is bad.
In The Atlantic and The Financial Times, there's opinion that Trump can still win. The economy could recover just enough. He could roll out an October surprise. Looming large, though, Karen, is the economy. Yes, your economy suffered its biggest blow since the Great Depression in the second quarter, consumer business spending heavily impacted.
This was a terrible, terrible quarter. And I think most people knew that going in because of all the business shutdowns. But this is a quarter, I think, for the first time in history that the U.S. government paid more money out in assistance than the domestic product was. So there was more assistance money paid than people actually made in the economy. And so that makes a huge difference. And that's been a big driving force in this country behind some of the crazy arguments you might have heard about whether Americans should wear masks or not, and whether businesses should stay open or not, whether kids should go to school or not. The state of the economy is a big part of that. And so if indeed the economy does become the driving factor for most voters, I mean, what they're going to be facing in late October, early November is going to help them make their decision.
Indeed, and we'll be talking to you again before that. And thanks for joining us this morning, Karen Kasler, our U.S. correspondent.